Jesus, today we give you the service. We pray that you'd be honored by what we do and pleased. I picture a sweet-smelling aroma going up in the Old Testament. They would have a sacrifice, and they would place it, and the aroma pleased you. I pray that we'd please you today. So, Jesus, may this service be lifted up to you. May it be our gift to you. And, Jesus, you might just tug at someone's heart today, and they might need to respond. I pray that you'd give them the courage to do that. Maybe they need to rededicate their life to you. Maybe they've drifted away from the faith. Maybe they don't even know you as Savior. May today be the day that they come to you. So Jesus, whatever is on our heart, may we give it to you. Cast all our care on you. And Jesus, may we understand that you couldn't love us any more than you do. So Jesus, I love you. I thank you for loving me. And thank you for loving all of us. May we now listen to you as you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pray that you're expecting to be spoken to today, and God will do that. We're like the woman who came in the crowd, and she reached out and touched the whole, grabbed hold of Jesus' garment, and what happened? She felt power ran through her. Came from Jesus into her. Well, Jesus still does that. That wasn't just an isolated incident. He still touches and heals and helps and holds. We still get that. Last week, we began a new series. It's called The Book of James, A Blueprint for the Christian Life. And Andy got us started. Just to encourage him again, if you enjoyed last week's day, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Andy got us started on a good book. It's found in the New Testament. So if you need a book called the Bible to look at the book called James, would you raise your hand and Jim will get you a book. So the book of James, Andy got us started off on a good note. And I'm going to go to James chapter 1 and we're going to pick up where Andy left off. While Jim's handing out the Bible, I might remind you too again that this book was written by the half-brother of Jesus. And you don't have to turn to it, but in Matthew chapter 13, I can just read these verses to you. Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56. I'll get you started with this. While Jesus was still speaking, talking to the crowd, his mother and brother stood outside wanting to speak to him. His mother and brothers. You say, well, that shows that he has some brothers. You're exactly right. And it tells you who his mothers and brothers are. And if you would be reminded in from last week what Andy said, he even had some sisters. So how many did he have? Well, Matthew, let me just read you these few verses tucked in the last part of Matthew chapter 13. When Jesus had finished speaking parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his own hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked, isn't this the carpenter? Y'all count with me now. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all his sisters, how many sisters did he at least have to say sisters? Two, at least. But I thought this was neat. Can you catch the dad's name in this family? Was Joseph, and he named his first son, well, God really named him Jesus, but watch this, Jesus, James, Joseph, and Jude. How about Joseph, or some people would say Joseph, so he went James, Jesus, James, really Joseph, and Jude. And some people call that Judas, according on whatever version you read, but I just thought he had some sons. Then he tucked Simon in there just for good measure. So Jesus got four brothers and at least two sisters. James, the first one right to come after Jesus, is the one that didn't believe him. Again, you don't have to turn to this, but I thought it was just so good that Andy brought this one out, just a little verse, and it came time in John chapter 7, there came time to go up to the Feast of the Tabernacle, and Jesus says, if I go up there, they're going to try to kill me. You know what his brother said? Go on. Well, thank you. I had four brothers. None of them ever wished death on me. Tim did hit me in the head with a jack one time, but I mean, outside of that, but they didn't purposely try to do that. Jesus' brothers in John chapter 7, verse 5, he's getting ready to, even his own, I just want to read you this one verse, John chapter 7, verse 5, for even his own brothers did not believe in him. So when did this man named James get saved? I think Jesus was He died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and finally James something, the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, and James came to his, I was going to say senses, he came to Jesus. So now, I just said that to preface the fact that if you've been saved out of something, you're almost a little bit, you're very zealous. Liz, does that make sense? You're very zealous. Like if an addict was saved out of, I had a friend in high school when I played baseball. His name was Bryce McCall. Bryce was the center fielder and I was the first base. And you mentioned drinking to Bryce, Bryce about punch you in the face. And it's like, wow, because his daddy died an alcoholic. And he just felt like, if you talk about alcohol, I'm coming after you. And did all of us feel that way? Well, I might have sort of said don't drink, but Bryce was an extra. I think James is sort of like, I hated my brother so long, I just didn't want him. I didn't want, when he finally got saved, this man's coming after you. So he's going to come at you and say, be on fire like me. It's like, easy, James, but that's all right. We need to have our toes stepped on. So in James chapter 1, James is going to step on your toes. I said that to say this. If you get your toes stomped on today, it's not me speaking to you. It's James. And James is going to come after you. He's going to say, once I got saved, once I got on fire, I want the whole world to do like what I'm doing. And if you were hearing James speak at a revival, you'd almost say, James, calm down. No, I don't want to calm down. He's making up for what?
Lost time.
Lost time. He probably went 35, 40 years not knowing his brother as Savior. I'm making up for it now. And so he's going to say this. Pick up where Andy left off last week. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God doesn't change. We do. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits as he created. And now he's going to stomp on your toes. Get ready. I started to bring a pair of army boots today. Just set them up there. You're going to need some steel toes on today because here's what James is coming after you. But I need to hear it. You need to hear it. But I'm just warning you. Listening and doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Wow. Quick to listen. You ever watch kids in grade school? What? I can't wait to watch. Talk. Yeah, I mean, they might want to answer the question, you're right, but I've never had anybody, yes, I just want to listen to you. I've never had anybody do that yet. Be quick to listen. Slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So if you receive the word, you let the word do its work, it'll save you. Well, what happens? How come people don't get saved today? Because they hear the word, but they don't really. Some people listen, but they don't hear. Did you get that? I can say that over and over in my classroom. I want you to take a test, write your name at the top. Everybody hear me? Great. Yes. Where do we write our name? Okay, obviously you heard me, but you didn't really listen. And even the classmates will go, gosh, aren't you listening? No. James is going to be very clear with you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. How can we listen and deceive ourselves? Because we think we're in good shape and we're not. Okay? Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a... He does all this and then gives you some practical examples. Well, I know I'm good. You don't have to preach at me. I'm good. Okay, then he steps on your toes right here. Oh, you think you're good? Those who consider themselves religious, I'm in pretty good shape, and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue, deceive themselves. So you think you're good. Why heard you gossiping the other day, Joe, about somebody? Well, I'm pretty good. Joe, you get picked on. But aren't that make sense? We would tell Jesus right now if he was up here and say, anyone, are you doing it? I'm doing great. Well, how come you? Oh, didn't know that counted. Yeah, see, now he nails me. He nails me on three things right here. I told you, get your steel toes out. Those who consider themselves religious, I'm in pretty good shape. You don't keep a tight rein on your tongue, you deceive yourselves. So religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this. Now he gives me on two other things. Look after orphans and widows. Take care of those that can't take care of themselves in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Do you feel your toes get stepped on a little bit in this? Now, I got to understand where it's coming from. Who is James? He's a half-brother of who? Jesus. And he's making up for lost time, so he's coming at you and saying this. If James was a football player, Chris, he's not going to sit on the bench. What's he want to do? He wants to start. He doesn't just want to start. I want to be the star. Well, I'm on the sideline, and this is good. That's all I want to do. I've never known this to happen. Coach, come here, number three. Don't know your name. Three, I need you to go in the game. Watch, all right. I'm just here to watch. What? Huh? You're on the team? You don't want to play? Well, I'm good. Wow. That'd be insane. What's Northside's record right now? Undefeated? Is that right? Yeah, they're doing okay. They're undefeated. No, I'm proud of them. They, and this is your senior year, right? So you always want to have a great year that senior year. So, and they're wiping out some people, you know. Beat Salem pretty handily. So you want to be a starter. Who wants to be? God, I want you to save me so I can sit on the sidelines. What kind of? James says, you better start. And he's coming at you. Give you an acid test ratio. Andy says he wasn't too good at math or science. He liked geometry so well he took it twice or something. But I tell you, chemistry was my favorite. All my grades in chemistry are much like sunken treasure. They were all below sea level. I hated chemistry. Somebody said, you going to take physics? Am I going to jump off a bridge? You know, that was sort of like a rhetorical. No, I hated chemistry. But I'm going to bring a chemistry thing and show it to business because I did take some business classes in my life. In the business world, there's a quick acid test. And it simply put, it's this. Bottom line, how much are you worth? So if someone came in and said, how much cash you can put your hands on right now? Well, if I sell the truck, didn't say sell the truck. Well, if I sell this machine, didn't say that. How much money do you have? Well, I don't have anything. Yeah, there you go. Quick acid test. How much money you got? Nothing? Okay. Well, quick acid test simply means this. How much can you put your hands on right now? What are you worth? I know it's a simple example. You say, well, they can sell something. Now, I'm not quickly. If James stood before you right now and said, what you pay for it? Well, if I start tight, didn't ask you that. What? Right now, what do you want? James is preaching at you. So here's a quick acid test. The worth of a company is really decided just in that quick acid test ratio. Is a company able to show really how well off it is? I want to be able to show my faith. Take this in the right way, but I don't even like it. Say, what's God doing in your life right now? Well, about 2 years ago, stop talking. Joe, why do I not let you go 2 years ago? 2 years ago, I didn't stop. What's God doing in your life? What do I want to hear? What? How about this? So here comes the wrong times. Hey, look, Vietnam War ended. Where, how old is this paper? Oh, I just picked it up. It's about 30 years old. I want something fresh. Tell me what God's doing. When I go to camp, and that's where Andy's going to be this weekend, Uncle Paul gets up. He's now got to preface the bonfire night. Because he says, campers, I want you to tell me what God's done in your life this week. Well, my grandpa, don't talk about your grandpa. Love him to pieces. I want to hear about you. What's God doing anyhow? Well, 2 years ago, I don't want to hear 2 years ago. This morning, Jesus spoke. That's what I want to hear. Quick acid test. What are you worth? James is coming after you. Here's what James, in one simple line right here, that you talk match your what? I'm a Christian. Show me. Well, there you go. Told you he was going to get stepped on. James just comes after you. James had no doubt seen some Christians develop disappointing and even dangerous habits in regard to their profession. They professed to be a Christian, but they did not what? Practice their faith. You know, I've never seen anybody like that in the world. Well, I'm a Christian. I had a guy tell me one time, I started talking to him, and after 12 cuss words and tell me a few other things, I thought, well, let me tell you about what the Bible. Oh, I know that Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Okay, it's Revelation, but I can't. I can tell you know it well. Somewhere in the Bible, God helps those who help themselves. God's never said that in the Bible. A Rolling Stone, I know, is Mick Jagger. Quit telling me little things is like, do you ever read this? Well, I'm pretty good at church spiritual. You're deceiving yourself. If you profess that you ought to practice it, he saw them saying one thing but doing another. They may have looked fine on the outside, but not good on the inside. In science, again, I did pick up a few things. At Radford, we call this chalcopyrite, and I later thought, well, it's iron pyrite or whatever, but some people call this gold. But then after looking at it closely and doing a few chemical analysis, they got another phrase for it. Chris, what is this? Fool's gold. So it's 49ers, you know, out there in 1845. I'm just kidding. Out there in when they were mining gold, a lot of people thought they were getting rich. So this looked good on the outside, but what? Was really worthless. It's fool's gold. Some of us look good on the outside. We can make it look so good. Verse 19, would you look at this? My dear brothers, read this again with me. Chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. You notice, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That's anger. Christians fall into two categories in regard to being quick to listen and then carry out what they've heard. Some Christians faithfully listen to the word and even feel a spiritual high. They leave church like, yeah, this is good. Because of this, they hear, but they don't really apply the truth of God's word to their lives. They feel good. Well, feeling good, there's nothing wrong with that, but I want you to feel good and then put it to use. The other group of Christians not only hear what Jesus, what God speaks to them from the word, but they put it into practice. Read this verse again. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Now, I think a lot of people are quick to listen. Hey, let's hear what you got to say. But they remind me of me and you at a, what they call a timeshare presentation. Has anybody ever been to a timeshare presentation? Aren't they wonderful? No, I haven't. Why are you there? Tell the truth. Why'd you go to a timeshare presentation? To get the free gift. Exactly right. So people come to church. Edgar, I'm quick to listen. Give me the gift. That's basically what we do to a timeshare. Come on, tell the truth. You have no intent of what when you go to that timeshare. That's a spiritual lesson. Did you get that? You're quick to listen, but you had no intent of buying into what I'm saying. Ouch. You're stepping on my toes. I warned you. Billy Graham's here. Yes. All right. Franklin Graham is in the case now doing a festival, as he calls it. A lot of people go here to Franklin just to say they've been. They have no intent of giving themselves to God. They're quick to listen. They're quick to listen. I'll give them that much credit. They're quick. And they're even slow to speak, but it just really, there's not much more to that. Let me show you what a tree does. We plant a tree when we hear God's word. And James says in this earlier verse that if the word comes in us and it's planted and it's able to do something. Remember what it's able to do? To save our souls. So receive that word. Receive the word. If I receive the word, accept Christ, more than just listen, I take it in. I will be planted and I'll be like a tree. But here's what some Christians or some people that go to church look like. They're opposed. Now, give me some things and some commonality between this. Both of them are what? Both of them are wood. Both of them out there in the field. But there's a difference. If you plant a tree, it starts growing. It's alive. It's quick. And by the way, God's word is too. It's alive. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And if somebody goes by this, they'll say, look at that tree. It's alive. But you plant a post, and the moment you plant it, it starts doing something. It starts decaying. So which are you, a tree or a post? Because see, I can't tell the difference between you sometimes. I think a lot of people, I'm solid. Solid as a post. And you're rotten. Pull a post up for a while and that last foot and a half into the ground looks, might even have some what on it. Dirt. Look real close. Are those termites? But from the outward, we look good. Which one are you? James, if he was here today, he'd say, I want you to be a tree. I want you to receive God's word. take it in, because it's able to save your soul. It's also able to give me comfort when I have to bury someone. It's also able to give me peace at night when I can't sleep. That's God's word. And I'm growing. I'm alive. Consider what verse 21 says. It's clear what James wants us to do. Verse 21, read this. I'll read verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. Get rid of it. By the way, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not giving you an excuse. I'm just giving you an understanding. He says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent. Sometimes when we get saved, that thing that we did that was so wrong, and we all got certain weaknesses. I don't want to start naming them, because I'll leave yours out and you think, oh, there's no hope for me. There's hope for all of us. But sometimes those habits that we've done for years, it's hard to what? Shed them off. And that's why people, once they'll get saved, they might drink, they might smoke, they might, oh, I got a potty mouth, or whatever it is. But they say, I'm working on it. Well, good, keep working. But I'm just saying, some things are, it's, when they say, throw away that moral filth, get rid of it. It's like cleaning a house. When my mom passed away, we went up and started taking some things and taking it to Goodwill. Has anybody ever had that? I won't say unfortunate, but you know what I mean. You have to go, and sometimes bag after bag goes out the door. And you're putting it to get used, taking it to somebody, but it's like, now we need to do that spiritually from time to time. You know, I used to do this, and I'm starting to do it again. Has anybody ever done that, Paul? Come on, tell the truth. I need to get rid of that moral field. I need to put that away. I used to do that, and I got saved, and now it's starting to creep up. Devil knows what handle to grab, doesn't he? Oh, yeah. Yeah. He knows what to use on you. Humbly accept the word planted in you, like that tree, which can save you. And don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Come clean, come close. 21, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept, that is, receive the word planted in you, which can save you. And sometimes it's hard to get rid of that moral filth, because even after becoming a Christian, some old habits are, as the expression says, what? Hard to break. I've done it so long, I just thought I'd drop it, and some people can. But we can break them by receiving God's word. Now, I don't know a lot of Greek. I used to tell people I knew a little Greek. He's about 5'2". We're in the bakery downtown Roanoke. But anyway, no, I'm going to give you a couple thoughts right here. There are two words for receive in the Greek language. One is lambano, and that means to grasp or to reach out or to take hold of. You're just grabbing it. Anybody ever leave the house, you go out and grab your car keys? You know, let me grab an umbrella. You really go, carefully, umbrella. All right. No, you don't. Let me grab a cup of coffee real quick. Let me grab. You don't really have any thought behind that. One is lambano, which means to grasp or to reach out and take hold. The other one is this. The one in the text is dekome, to receive as a welcomed guest. Okay, there's a difference. One you're grabbing without much thought. The other one you're carefully selecting. Okay? If you're going through the airport, grab some M&Ms. Which one is that? That's the first one. You're selecting the diamond for your future bride. Oh, that better be this. Let me look, jeweler time. Yes. No, I don't know. Or some of you ladies picking a cantaloupe or a melon, you know that? Men, got it. Don't get that one. Put that back. This is it. The golden, you know, the wife does that. Carefully select it. This is it. Life comes in further, says you. This is it. So some of us grab a paper towel. Got it. And some of us do this. Let me see which book. If I said go to the library and get a book, you want to get one that you what? That you like. Go to the library and get a book. Got it. You even got to know what you picked up. Jesus says receive his word with some intent. Not just got it. See, again, people are quick to hear. Quick to get the paper towel. What are you going to do with it? I don't know. How about being a little bit more selective? Consider what verse 22 says, and it's clear that James is saying this. Don't just hear something, do something. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. If you just listen today and go out the door unchained, God doesn't like that. Well, I'm saved. I know I am. So once you get saved, you're not going to ever change? Max Lucado says this little line, I love it. He says, God loves you just the way you are, but loves you too much to leave you that way. Jenny loves me just the way I am. If I never change, she'll still love me. But if I, you know, put my dirty clothes and where they belong, and if I would quit putting the dirty dish in the sink, and if I, you know, I can improve. I know y'all thought it was perfect. But I can, you can improve, can't you, spiritually. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. James then gives a great example, which reminds me of a person who was a character on the television show Happy Days. Here's what James reminds us of. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in a what? Mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately does what? Forgets what he saw. But whoever looks intently, it's like you picking out just the right book, picking out just the right ring. What's a character, by the way, that looks in the mirror and finds no fault in himself? Who's that?
Fonzie.
Hey! Yeah, that was him. That's this guy. And Fonzie on Happy Days would come across, he'd take his mirror, take his comb out and go up to the mirror and go, hey, and put it back in his pocket and walk off like, I don't need to do a thing. I'm good the way I am. No perfection is needed. So you read the Bible and go, hey, walk off. Jesus says, what did you just read? Be kind. Ephesians 4 and 32. Be kind one to another.
Shut up! I'm reading about kindness.
Be kind one to another. Hey! Walk off. And then one day it'll all sink in and go, be kind. I'm awful to everybody. I rip their head off. I'm short-tempered. Be kind and tender-hearted. And forgive people the way that who? Christ forgave me. And then sell it straight to the heart. And then you go to people and say, I'm sorry, I've been ripping him off. I want to be kind. Because that was the day you looked in the mirror and you went, oh man, I got a lot out for it. I need to work on that. Call a plastic surgeon for some of us.
So we just got a lot of work.
Spiritually, we got to. I've been doing that half month. I got to quit that. And we left the master who's the doctor. I didn't mean plastic surgeon. We need to be reconstructed. But God needs to work on my heart. I can start being ugly. So quit going, and walking off from the mirror. The first word in verse 23 in the Greek is kantaneo, to give a passing glance, a casual look in the mirror. That's Fonzie. Second word in verse 25 is parakupto, which means to bend over, to stoop down. As John went into the tomb where Jesus was, he was almost like a NCIS guy. He was like a CSI. He's more doing what? He's investigating now. He's like, I'm looking for clues. See, you got to be trained for that. I want us to be trained. I want us to look in the Bible and go, all right, what's this got? No, no quiet. Turn that down. I'm looking for something. There you go. Stoop down. Bend over. Look. What's this kind of shopping? Is this called? Window shopping. That's the way some of us read the Bible. Be kind. It's nice to look, but you didn't want to do any what? You didn't buy that, did you? You didn't buy into what Jesus said. You got other people that. All right. She's examining a can of peaches, I think, there. But you get the point. Do you win the shop and read God's Word? Do you really? I've got this. Toe's still okay? Can you tell that James is serious about his faith? I don't think anybody ever said, now, James, do you really love your brother?
Don't talk about my brother.
Neither, James. You know what, if James, on the day that he was giving his testimony in church, he would have probably said something like this. I don't know if it had been quite this intense, but James says, I went for about 30 years and hated him. He got on my nerves. I couldn't stand him. And then, let's see. Don't have to turn. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God. Some translations call that a bond servant, which is really a what? Slave. Jesus is my master now. think his life's changed? And he is so on fire. He wants us to be on fire. So yeah, my toes get stepped on too. If you do not live out your faith enthusiastically, Bishop Fulton J. Sheen said one time, he said, maybe you don't have any faith.
Ouch.
If you don't get excited about the faith you have in Jesus, do you have a faith in Jesus? Well, I do. I just... You ever met a grandparent that didn't talk about the grandkids? I haven't either. So I don't want to be a Christian and not talk about my Father. Not talk about my Savior Jesus. I heard you was a Christian. I absolutely am. Well, I don't like Christians. Sorry, but I still am one. I've had people say, I don't like God. I said, He loves you anyway. Close with this. Yesterday was the 243rd anniversary of the Navy. Anybody in the Navy? 243rd anniversary of the Navy. So I thought I'd use a ship illustration. You are the boat. Okay? And the water is the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. Does that make sense? Well, I just won't go in the water. Then you're not much of a ship then. If you really want to be a good ship, you got to be in the water, right? So you're the ship, and you're in the world. You're the Christian, you're in the... the ship in the water. Okay, I got it. So you are in the world. I have no choice. As long as the boat is in the water, it's fine. So you're being used and you're putting that faith to the test. But the water must never get into the boat. Or we end up being like this. What good is that boat, really? Worthless. So I'm the boat. I have to be in the water, but I can't let the water get in me. Does that make sense? So I'm in the water. I'm at Salem High School. Not everybody at Salem. Jordan would probably agree. Not everybody at Northside, the Christian. Not everybody at... And I get crazy every once in a while. I just sort of live it out. I think I shared this the other night at Bible study. I'll share it again if you've heard it. Just hang with me. I was doing lunch duty the other day. If I ever get close to dying, let me do lunch duty. Because what 10 minutes seems like 2 years, you know, and that way it'll make me seem like I'm, all I got to do is walk around the cafeteria. It's just like, what are you doing? Throw your tray again. Get up, pick that banana peel up. You know, it's like being a policeman. I love it. I heard a boy use a word the other day that's not a wholesome word. And I said, come here, sir. Notice I didn't embarrass him in front of your friends. I brought him over there and I said, let me go down to the office. I'll get the D-Hall slip and let you sign it. You know what you said. What? I said, don't play stupid on me. You heard it. I heard it. I heard it 20 feet away. So I'm going to get you to sign this, okay? So I went down and got the D-Hall slip and come back to Pena. And I said, he said, he got up, walked past me, dumped his tray and come back and said, give it here. Let me sign it. I said, wait a minute. What's going on in your life? What? What's going on in you? I don't talk about it. Well, I said, it just must be something going on for you to get upset that much and let me hear it while looking at your phone. So somebody on the phone must have got you upset. I don't know. I said, tell me a little bit what's going on. You know, I tell me the whole story. He said, well, I wrecked my car this past Friday, totaled it. Things at work, I don't know, home, not... Everything just feels like it's what?
Caving in.
So everything's on top of you? So everything's you bad? So you think giving you one more bad thing is going to help? Then I said, then I don't want to give you one more bad thing. It sounds like you got enough on your plate. God would call this grace. So I said, I'm going to give you grace today. You don't have something. Sounds like you got nothing on. Thank you. Are you crazy? No, I said, you promise not to do that anymore? Appreciate you, honestly. I don't want to give you one more bad thing. Sounds like you got nothing going on in your life. Let's just put this away. You try to do better. Is that all right? Next day at school, I'm walking the lunchroom again. He comes over to me. How you doing today? I said, I'm doing good. I bet you doing better. He said, seems like things are better. So in other words, my act of grace was perhaps getting you in the right direction? Yes, sir. Okay. God's giving you an act of grace today. He's tearing up the D slip. I'm about ready to write you up, but let's get rid of it. Instead, I'm going to give you grace. What is it? It's a grace slip. I love you. I'll forgive you. You just come to me. I don't deserve it. I know. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. What are you doing? Loving you like nobody else will. Thank you. It's okay. God will forgive you. I don't know. So what's in you? The Word or the world? I know we got to be in the world, and the world's not always so kind to us. But God, pray with me. Dear Jesus, we're going to close our eyes but open our hearts. And for the next moment, let's just hear you speak.